Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio with my co-host,
Tom Mazur.
And Tom, we are having a wonderful interview because the ways why I say it's wonderful, this is a topic that is very, very important to all of us.
Yes. The topic is human trafficking. This is part two. Last week, we had Truckers Against Trafficking. We had the co-founder and a person who had been caught up in, been a victim three separate times. And phone calls came to me immediately about this. And I shared this with our president and founder, David Bolduc. He is very much behind getting this information. He has a heart of concern for this issue. And this is the month of January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month.
Amen.
And we are going to do all we can to help people. In fact, one part of this story today is a person who's been positively affected, actually got help because they heard a public service announcement. That's a non-commercial radio on a radio station. We don't know if it was Strong Tower Radio or one of our fellow broadcasters, but it does make a difference in people's lives.
Yes, it does. And so I'm going to, I wasn't part of that last week, but I listened to that program and wow. And so I'm glad I'm part of this one this week. But we have in our studio three women. And the first person I'm going to introduce is Mary Campbell, and she is the Executive Director of Healing Private Wounds.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we have a volunteer to Healing Private Wounds, and her name is Adeline Arnold.
Thank you for inviting us.
Okay. And then the last person we're going to talk to is Barb Hazlett. And Barb, you give us what your title is.
Well, I work with the Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force. I am also the anti-trafficking person for the Northwest Lower Michigan Synod of Evangelical Lutheran Church, and I travel everywhere. I go to the UP. I've been in Indiana, Ohio. I have the advantage of sharing information everywhere.
Amen. Well, we're glad that you're here with us. And Tom, before we get started and to talk about human trafficking, why don't you have a word of prayer?
This is a subject that we need the Lord's presence.
Amen.
God never wanted his children to be used in this way, but we're here to spread the news and to bring hope to people in this difficult situation. Our great Heavenly Father, you are so kind and good. You have emotions and your eyes fill with tears when you see what happens on this earth to your children. Lord, we are lifting up your children today and giving them hope.
Amen.
And purpose, and to ask our listeners and our communities to reach out and address this issue as best we can. Be with our presenters today, that they will bring the message that we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, well, Barb, we're going to start with you. And the question is, what is human trafficking?
Human trafficking, in a nutshell, is plain slavery. They are lured. They are coerced. They are trafficked. They are kept in closets. It's just a terrible, terrible life for anyone. And my answer to the traffickers, if you're one of them, you've got to answer to God for what you're doing. So it's a combination of faith and a combination of awareness and a combination of hating everything they do that I'm so involved. And I have been involved since 2014.
What caused you to become a high priority in your life?
At that time, my grandson was living on 115 with my daughter, and 115 is a trafficking highway for human trafficking.
115, and I was, where is 115 located?
M-115 right here in Cadillac. It's a trafficking highway.
And most people are not aware of that situation.
It's been that way probably for at least since 2009. I heard about it when I joined the Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force in 2015.
What makes M-115 a state highway that goes diagonally across the state from kind of the center to the northwest corner? Why here?
It's rural. I think it's recreational. I think it is, it's not followed by law enforcement that frequently, and I think it's just an easy connection. If you see a semi-truck and it's followed by a Volvo or a Mercedes, and they're going the same speed as that semi, there could be people in there because that beautiful luxury car doesn't have to go 65 miles an hour.
It probably, that's if I'm driving, usually I want to get around those trucks.
Exactly. So there are signs that you can look for that you can see if you read them in the nonfiction books about human trafficking, then you can get an idea of what to look for. And a lot of times if you report to the 800 number, it's the Polaris number that is national. And if you report to Polaris, it might not necessarily be human trafficking, but it could be domestic violence. And they're both bad. So
what's that number?
Call 800-888-3737. 800-888-3737. And that's the Polaris national phone number for human trafficking.
So I want to ask a question regarding human trafficking. I mean, when I hear it, most of the time I'm thinking, you know, of sex slave, when you said slavery, but it's not sex.
Oh, no. It is seasonal workers. It is factory workers. It's just involved in every facet of life. It is not just sex, mm-hmm. and it's not just ladies. Mm. Unfortunately for men, there is only one survivor house in the United States for men victims of human trafficking.
Really?
And it is so sad. It's in North Carolina, and it is very sad because they just don't address the situation for men, and it's unfortunate.
You know, I'm speaking, there's off-season labor. You know, we have migrant workers and so
absolutely.
On. And documentation. It's just interesting. I know some people right now, I'm distantly aware of that they're without jobs. The agriculture cycle is at a low level here in January. And these people are really, really desperate at this time.
They are desperate, and they're willing to take any work that they can get. And consequently, these are the people that are getting them involved and into this type of labor. And it's unfortunate. The egg farm and the blueberry farm in Michigan were not a joke. They really happened.
And that's a story of a book, title of a book or a movie?
I don't believe so. The egg farm is down by Zeeland, and the blueberry farm is in the wine country region.
So this is a real place with
those are real places, and that really happened.
Now, how does Michigan rank as far as compared to other states in the unpleasant situation of human trafficking?
Well, I think unfortunately Michigan gets a bad rap because a lot of people are aware of the 800 number, and they are reporting. They're reporting a lot. Michigan is not ranked number 4. It's unfortunate because you can get anywhere from Michigan within 3 hours, anywhere in the country. And so Michigan has a bad rap because of our transportation, because of our waterways, and so forth.
So, Mary, I see you you have some statistics to talk about that.
Yes, I brought up a statistic, and right now Michigan is ranked number 5 in the nation for human trafficking. And it is, just like Barb said, it's because of the proximity to the Canadian border. So we also have U.S. 131 that cuts through the entire state of Michigan. We have major metropolitan areas in the south, and that 115 corridor goes from, you know,
the south to
north, you know, east and west.
Towards Flint.
Exactly. So it's due to the fact that we can get them into the lakes as well and transport them that way.
So how do they figure out these statistics? Do you have any idea how they do this?
The statistics are from Polaris, and they are from who's reporting and who's not reporting. If you have a state that had never heard the 800 number or never heard of Polaris, they don't report anything, so they're probably number 49 or 50. But we are active in Michigan. We are active all over the state of Michigan promoting the awareness and the 800 number, and it's not a shame for us to be that way. Michigan is moving forward. We have been moving forward since our senator from Greenville retired, and she started the push for Michigan to be human trafficking aware.
And our Michigan State Police has put this as a very, very high priority.
They are fantastic. They're absolutely fantastic. 100% support to them. Friday, I will be with an officer at the child protection meeting at the CTC building, the round building, not the square building. And the police officer there, I believe, is an officer that's the grandson of one of my other friends.
Well, let's talk about the definition. This is the U.S. Department of Justice. Human trafficking, known as trafficking in persons, is a crime that involves the compelling of or coercing a person to provide labor or service or to engage in commercial acts of sex. The coercion can be subtle or overt, physical or psychological. Exploitation of a minor for commercial purposes is human trafficking, regardless of whether there's any form of force, fraud, or coercion was used. It's interesting, this word keeps coming up. Force, fraud, and coercion. Barb, would you define those three terms and how they apply to human trafficking?
Well, I just would like to say, before I kind of try to give a description, it's not always a white van pulling up to a school and taking a child away. That is such a myth and such a misnomer for human trafficking. It's kind of a little bit absurd. The force part would be someone offering as little as a $10 McDonald's gift card for a meal. We have homeless children. We have couch surfers in the school systems that have no home. They're living in cars out in fields, and just a hot meal would get them into going anywhere with someone. The fraud is when they get the victims, they take away their identification, and so they are
faceless.
They are faceless. They are nameless. Even if a victim has to go to the hospital or the emergency room, that person speaks for them. They do not speak for themselves. They do not have their identification, and they are forced into doing sex acts and labor and other things, and they don't receive 10 cents. A prostitute has a condo and a Lincoln, and a victim of human trafficking is used day in and day out for sex for whoever they are given to. It's really not a good thing. The coercion is, once you're there, you are, in most cases, alcohol and drugs take a lot of effect, and they are given the drugs and the alcohol frequently, and they just... I don't mean to say mindless, because they're still people, but it is so strong. It's not something that you can just walk away from. And the fear of the traffickers hurting members of their family or pets or anyone involved with them is just tremendous. They can't walk away.
You know, there's a statistic here that came from the form of the Michigan Abolitionist Project. 42, this is just mind-boggling, 42% of the victims are brought about by the families.
Yes.
Talk about betrayal. It doesn't get much worse than that.
There are parents that sell their children to the traffickers. It's nothing for parents to receive $10,000 or $15,000 for a child. between the ages of 10 and 13. It could be just family friends. It could be the uncle. It's just so, so unfortunate.
Let's take a break at this moment. And when we come back, we have a real live story. We have a person in our studio here that will tell about her experience that happened right here in Michigan. Well, listeners, we'll be right back. You're listening to Strong Tower Radio. We're dealing with a very difficult subject. Parents, you need to use discretion on this particular subject. We usually have subjects that are much more pleasant and upright, but this is a sad part of our sinful world, and this is Strong Tower Radio, and we're talking about human trafficking. I'm your host, Tom Majur, with Jelaine Fenner. We'll be back after this break.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio with my co-host,
Tom Majur.
And Tom, our topic today is human trafficking. It's the second in a series. And we've been talking to three women here. And I'm going to go to Barb Hazlett, because you were talking about Polaris and an 800 number. And it's polarisproject.org. And there, if you go to their website, it's about human trafficking. And that's Barb. What you're passionate about is human trafficking.
Yes, I also have an 800 number that I can be reached for a presentation or brochures or literature.
This
or
is your
anything.
Private.
This is my own. This is my own phone number that you can reach 24/7, and my number is 800-367-6788.
So
800-367-6788. And I'm available anytime, and I also have an answering machine on that phone number.
Okay. So if somebody calls, like, in the middle of the night, they, you know,
they would get me.
Yeah, okay. But if you didn't answer, they could leave a message, and you will get back with them. Okay. So if anybody has a question about maybe
an area, a location or anything.
Okay.
Reasonably anywhere, I probably know about it.
Okay. And even if somebody out there is listening to this program and they know that they're involved, they're...
Absolutely.
You can help them if they want to give you a call.
I will do my very best.
Okay.
You know, Jelaine, there's nothing more powerful than a motivated volunteer. There's nothing stops them. It's kind of like you. But Barb is she's very knowledgeable. And if your service club, church, group needs a speaker, Barb will either do it or she will find a resource for you. So this is a subject that, you know, many of us were totally oblivious to this subject. And we were in denial and we're being faced with this awful reality now we're going to do something about it.
All right. So, folks, if you want to try to get a hold of Barb, it's 800-367-6788.
We're going to also talk to Mary Campbell. She's the executive director of Healing Private Wounds, and that is here in the Cadillac area. And Adeline had Arnold actually was helped by your agency. Tell our listeners what your agency does and how maybe people can reach out that would be looking for similar agencies and how you can help them.
Sure. Our agency was founded by a survivor of child sexual abuse. And the thing that crosses over between human trafficking and child sexual abuse is the fact that these are the vulnerable people that human traffickers are looking for. Obviously, it's not an ideal situation to grow up in. They have traumas, residual traumas that follow them into their adult decision-making processes. And so Healing Private Wounds has free counseling and support groups and mentorship that we can help people with as they're on their healing journey.
Absolutely.
Now, if somebody wanted to contact you, how do they call you?
Sure. Healing Private Wounds phone number is 231-846-4495. That's 231-846-4495. And we are there Tuesday through Friday. But you can leave a message anytime. You can also reach out to our website, which is www.healingprivatewounds.org. There is also a chat option on that website. And we will be sure to get back to you within 24 hours.
Amen. Let's talk about, you mentioned about the vulnerable. And we have a list here that came from the Michigan Abolitionist Project. And here are the most vulnerable. They're runaways, they're having trouble with the juvenile justice system, or the foster care system. And we heard about that in our last program. You can listen to that from on our archives, on audio archives, strongtowerradio.org or str.fm, and hear the previous program, the first part one. In the foster care, something like two-thirds of them are prey for human traffickers. That's just unbelievable. They have they talked about aging out, that they get through the system, and where do they go? Who picks them up? And that's where the church and the community can come in and help these people. Having a caregiver, a member who, a house family member that has substance abuse disorders, facing poverty, economic need, unstable living environment. You talk about couch surfing, and that's couch surfing is really a product, byproduct of other problems, family situations, domestic violence, in the LGBTQ plus. A community, history of sexual abuse, history of physical or emotional abuse, neglect, mental health issues, addicted to drugs and alcohol. That's one of the things that Barb, we talked about in the committee, drugs and alcohol is a contributing factor many, many times.
It just snowballs. It really does, Tom. I mean, you start out with a childhood that's not ideal, and you learn to survive. And so whatever it takes to survive, whether that's getting your first job at the age of 12, babysitting like I did, and, you know, it really does matter what people are surrounding you. So studies actually show that trauma can be prevented if there's one healthy adult in that child's life that they can turn to, a safe person. What they really need to know is that I'm safe here, somebody that they can call in the middle of the night, you know, so being that mentor, that person that lets the kids at school know, hey, I'm here for you if you ever need to talk. That's something that we all can do.
You know, that's what we got from the co-founder of the Truckers Against Trafficking is you can help even with helping with a food bank, keeping them off the desperate mode where they will be susceptible to these piranhas, these
That's a good word. That is a very good word.
And and this is where your church can be so helpful.
Absolutely.
You watch your youth group and see the people, just like these traffickers go to the playgrounds and look for the kids who are sitting on the edge, not engaged. And you called it grooming.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are, I'm going to let Adeline answer a little bit more of that question, but it's a whole network. It's a multi-billion dollar business. And so they do have groomers out there that will watch and pick out the most vulnerable person that they can and then groom them. And, you know, there is a story that I heard of a person that got involved as a teenager with a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. They thought, this is the person I love. This is the person that's going to take care of me. And it slowly progressed into, if you love me, you'll do this for me. And then they become trapped. They become addicted to drugs. They need that next fix. And this is the way to get it.
You know, Tom, makes me think of what's in the news currently when we're talking about this. And we're hearing about it. I mean, it's in the news about Jeffrey Epstein. And then he had his girlfriend who was a groomer and would go get girls. And I mean, we're hearing about this now more. So like you had said, we didn't hear about this. I mean, Barb, I just have to hand it to you. You've been involved with this for a long time. But now it's coming more and more out in the open. And like you talked about, education. People need to be educated and be aware and have their, like, you know, you see something, say something. We need to know. And what we talked about off air, even if you're not, well, it's none of my business, or I don't know, maybe it's not, you're better off calling in authorities to say something, because you'd rather be safe than sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had 3 signs taken out of my front yard with the 800 number on it, because you can cut across from my street and get to 55 or 115 from 131. And I've had 3 signs taken out of the yard. I've had the tires on half of my car flattened after I came out from a speaking engagement, because the traffickers don't want people to be aware. They just don't want the news to get out. And so I just keep putting the signs back up.
Amen. Praise God for you.
Now, Mary, introduce Adeline and how she became associated with as a volunteer in healing public private wounds, and the importance of her story.
Mm-hmm. Well, Adeline's been at Healing Private Wounds longer than I have. I've been there for 6 months. Adeline's been there for, what, 3 years?
About 4 years.
4 years, yes. And so I call Adeline my volunteer extraordinaire. She's my right-hand lady that helps me with everything there at Healing Private Wounds, and her story is phenomenal. She's still healing. You know, we're all on a healing journey, and so she utilizes the services of Healing Private Wounds, but she also uses that healing power to help others. She brings people in to Healing Private Wounds. She is a volunteer at the Wexford County Jail. Uh-huh. We go into the jail on Sundays and lead a Bible study.
Amen.
And then also on Thursdays and lead a sexual assault recovery group. And we've just received permission to go into the men's side, so we are looking for a male volunteer, just FYI.
Okay. So, Adeline, tell us your story, kind of what's happened with you.
Well, it started when I was 9 with abuse from my father, sexual abuse, and it went on to 2-3 different family members that abused me. But after that, I started doing prostitution, and one thing that started was one gentleman told me he could help me, you know, take care of myself and help me become a better person with money and things, and he would allow me to go home and get not treated well there and come back to him, and he always made sure he treated me awesome. Until, you know, he got me doing what he wanted me to do, then the care wasn't there anymore. It was, you owe. Mm. You owe me. Mm-hmm. You, if you want to eat, if you want to have something warm, you owe me.
This is a reoccurring, the brief exposure I've had, Barb and Mary, this is typical. There's something as gift, a gift that is given that isn't, there's nothing free in life,
right,
except for the love of God and salvation. But other than that, there's nothing really free in life. And this is what happens over and over, the grooming that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So, Adeline, how did you get involved with healing private wounds here in Cadillac?
Well, about 4 years ago, I'm a diabetic, and I just couldn't handle, you know, my kids were gone and everything, so all I had was my brain left, and my past caught up with me, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it no more, and so I was going to kill myself. So when I drew it up, and I was getting ready Healing Private Wounds. I don't remember what radio station, where it come from, but Healing Private Wounds come up.
So you were going to, because you're diabetic, you were going to take an overdose of insulin.
Yes, I was going to overdose on insulin. Mm-hmm. And after I called her, the answer machine answered, and I left a message, and about 5 minutes later, my counselor, Carol Henson, called me. And I had an appointment the very next day, and oh my goodness, I couldn't. Every time I went in there, I started bawling and crying. And
you found a loving environment.
I found a loving environment, Shirley Peterson.
And something that you've never significantly had consistently ever before.
Never. I didn't know nothing about God. I knew nothing about. When me, it was, if there's a God, why did he allow this? It wasn't until Healing Private Wounds I learned that, you know, God would give me those puppies and the flowers and the birds to think about while things were happening. And it wasn't God that was doing it to me.
That's right.
So that helped me a lot to realize that.
You know, I just want to interject for listeners, because so many people, they blame God for everything, because God can stop anything. Yep. But people forget he gave us free will. And just because he could stop what was happening to you didn't mean that person that was doing it to you was going to. They had free will to do it.
Right.
And so that's, I'm so thankful for Healing Private Wounds, how
you
helping,
and me both.
Yeah, helping us to understand that this isn't God's will, and God cannot take free will away from any of us. We need to know. People need to understand that.
That's right.
I want to ask Barb a question. Is kidnapping a part of human trafficking, and what part of it is it?
Rarely, absolutely rarely.
Well, you know, Barb, when I was in first grade and kindergarten, they said, you know, the candy, and when you come out of school.
Oh, the puppies. Oh, yeah, yeah. The puppies. That was a big one at that age.
But the sad part about this is that 40%+ that it was family members. Mm-hmm. We live in a sad, sad world.
Well, that's what Adeline. It was started with family member.
My mother allowed me to go clean her friend's house when I was 13.
Is this a male friend?
Yeah. And it was just him and I. And I was supposed to be there cleaning. Well, I cleaned. I did his dishes. But also, I had to allow him to give me a shower and, you know, all that. Not too many people leave their child to spend the night with a gentleman, but I was left to spend the night.
And you said that there was some reimbursement to your mother.
Yes, he gave my mom the money I made for keeping his house clean.
And all you did was maybe the dishes.
And that's all I did was the dishes.
So you had sexual abuse from your father, but also your mother helped provide that sexual abuse.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does drugs play a part in the victim's
it kills
decline.
It. You take a drug, you don't feel ashamed anymore.
It's also an incentive?
Yeah, because they give you it first to make you feel comfortable. And then once they give you that, you have to keep having it. You have to, because it drowns everything that's happening to you. You can be laying there stoned, and they can do whatever they choose to you. You don't feel it. You feel happy. You don't, you know, it takes you away.
Drugs and alcohol, both, you're just not, like, physically there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I just would like to make an interjection here. Shirley Peterson was one of my panel members when I made a presentation of the Breaking the Chain, Human Trafficking, first movie made in the state of Michigan with Michigan people. And Shirley Peterson was the most outstanding speaker that we had on that panel, because you've got to understand the basis of all this and the trauma that these people have gone through from
childhood,
even earlier than age 9. Mm-hmm. And Healing Private Wounds, I was introduced to them when they first came to Cadillac. And the group is outstanding. It's mm-hmm. just totally outstanding.
Not even
just for only addiction or that type of thing. They get to the root.
Yes.
The trauma part. That's the trauma part that everyone has to recognize.
Mm-hmm. And actually, a statistic that I read said that child sexual abuse starts on average at age 6.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get there early.
So Healing Private Wounds, they have a toll-free number or a local number? I mean, you gave us a local number.
It's a local number. We do not have a 800 okay. number.
Anybody listening, because we're statewide, actually worldwide because we're stream, but they could call, and it's 231-846-4495.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
HealingPrivateWounds.org. Mm-hmm. And they could call... I mean, if they were out in California, happen to hear this and mm-hmm. ask you questions, and you can maybe help give them some other resources.
Correct.
But if they're fairly local.
Yep. We do have free counseling services. It's really amazing that we have over 40 volunteers that help keep the place running. And we have a licensed professional counselor. Mm-hmm. Her name is Carol, if you call and ask. She just gives of her time so freely. We really appreciate her. We have a couple other counselors as well that are on as-needed basis. And we have just life-affirming groups. We've got a boundary group that happens every week. We've got Seeking Safety, which involves some of the substance abuse recovery. We also... we have parenting. We just added a parenting program called Healing Roots because mm-hmm. we do want to get to the root of the issue.
Amen.
And it's a home-based program. So we're in the house and we can see, we're the first people sometimes that they tell that something's going awry.
You'll see something at home that you won't see mm-hmm. in a counseling session elsewhere. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to take a break right now, but afterwards, we've got good news. That you can protect your children, you can do something to this heinous situation, you can help save at least one individual by directing them in the right path.
So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button. Or call 231-468-2087. We thank you and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today. I am one of your hosts, Jelaine Fenner, with
Tom Majeure.
And Tom, this has been a very interesting topic and discussion on human trafficking.
You know, Jelaine, after our first program that aired last week, you'll want to go back and hear that on Strong Tower Radio's website, strongtowerradio.org, under audio resources. It was about Truckers Against Trafficking, the co-founder and a 3-time victim. But one of our listeners said, I've got these questions, and I said, I will share this with our panel this week. And I'm going to throw this to Barb, but also Adeline, to give your experience. What advice, this is a grandparent, but what advice do you have for parents of young girls ages 6 to 13?
It might not just be young girls either, though.
Correct.
Children.
All right, children. I guess you've just got to keep them as close as you possibly can and pray a lot, because they are inquisitive. They are going in all directions, and you can't put them in a closet and leave them there until they're 21. That's just not a solution. But you have to be overprotective of your children. And in most cases, it's not always the family that's going to church, that's going to community functions. It's the family that's little dysfunctional. It's that family that they don't have Sunday dinner together. They don't have community-involved activities. They don't do sports. They don't. Those children are just kind of left to be on their own, and they're so inquisitive, they'd go in any direction.
You know, you have a sheet here, ways to protect your children, and I think that's what this person's asking, is spend time regularly one-on-one with your teens. What happens with that?
I think in most cases that's about gone to the wayside, because the parents are busy, the children are busy, everybody seems to be going in their own direction. The mom says to the dad, it's your turn, and the dad says to the mom, it's your turn, and the children don't get any benefit from either of the parents.
But try to carve out some time to listen.
They should just make time. They should make time. They should have Sunday dinners, just like Blue Bloods.
What about this? Know who they spend time. Know who your teenagers, your
that
kids
is, are. That is totally critical. The internet and the monitoring of their computers and their smartphones is just so critical. You've got to have that parental permission on all of their electronic equipment.
So that's a whole nother topic.
You could have another one for human traffic on that subject alone.
What about sleepovers?
Have them come to your house.
another one is ask questions.
Well, sometimes children will become very quiet and very, something has happened and they don't want to share it with anybody, and they would share it with a friend before they would share it with an adult or a parent. And if you see any signs of anything like that, their grades lowering, those types of things, then they should probably seek counseling.
I thought this was interesting. Know the addresses and phone numbers of your teenagers, friends, and parents.
You should have them written in an address book, always.
And you use them to call them, say, where's my kid?
Absolutely.
And what's this about carrying the ID on them at all times? Why is that important?
Well, if they are taken or gone into a trafficking situation, they won't have an ID. If they come back home and they've been to an event or something like that and they lost it or they don't have it, that could be a beginning sign of someone trying to take them. So you've got their ID should be with them at all times.
This being involved in school activities.
Very, very, very critical. Very critical. You don't have to be the main cheerleader. You don't have to be the. You can just be the little drummer at the end of the band. But school activities, sports especially, intelligent things especially.
Affirming to them too.
It's a positive, and it's a team building situation when you're involved with those things. And then when you become an adult, you become community minded and active as well.
And if people know that their parents are around, that's protection just in
itself.
It is.
That's a protection in itself.
I see two more here. One is make sure they're sound asleep in their beds at night.
Absolutely. You have to check and don't leave the doors shut at night and make sure they're in that bed, not a pillow. Like Teresa Flores used to leave the pillow and her blanket rolled up to make it look like she was in her bed.
And the last thing is never let your guard down.
Never, ever.
So, Adeline, I had asked for your feedback from a victim. What is your thought on for parents of young people 6 to 13?
Talk to your kids. Let them know, because They have to reach out, and they have to know that they can trust you and know that they can count on you to protect them. Because if you're not going to let them know they can count on you, there's somebody out there that's going to let them know.
And it will not be necessarily with good motives.
Exactly, exactly.
Second question from this listener, should they ever be out of your sight in public?
Well, human, we all have to go out on our own. But if we can count on what we've taught our kids and know that they have been listening and understanding, you're not going to be able to protect them from everything. All you can do is give them the knowledge. Mm. That's all you can do.
You know, we had a president, I see Mary wanting to say something, but we had a president that says, trust but verify. You trust those kids, but every once in a while you see if their integrity is still intact. Mary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to add to that is that kids, especially teenagers, are looking for someone that will just listen. Yep. With a non-judgmental attitude, someone that will support the positive things that they're doing in life. And so the biggest way to shut down somebody who starts talking is saying, well, why did you do that? Or, you know, blaming them for their decisions. Instead, ingrain it in your brain and in your vocabulary to ask, what happened? I'm here to listen.
You know what it makes, I'm thinking about is I had my brother say that you need to have another trusted adult besides your parents that the parent is comfortable with, that maybe they can tell something to them that they're not ready to tell their parents. I'm not undermining parental authority, but
right.
Sometimes you need a safety valve or a backup person to the parents.
That could be a coach, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher.
You should kind of handpick them, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they need to be vetted.
Yes. And then the last question from this listener, is it okay to let them go to the corner grocery store alone? I think that this question, there's a story behind that. So, Barb, why don't you weigh in?
Well, I guess from that standpoint, we see it a lot of on the television programs and so forth. If the child is going alone to the store, going there or on the way back home, they could be just taken, not somebody walking out from behind a tree. It could be just someone that's kind, or they could give the excuse of, well, my dog ran away, can you help me find it? A child should not be in a position to go that length of a location alone, period. They could even have a friend go with them. They should not go alone.
I also wanted to interject a little bit there because we can't live in a spirit of fear all the time either. So I think that the most important thing to do is to teach your kids safe body boundaries. You know, teach them the proper language to call their body parts, and then also give them the permission to say no if they don't feel comfortable with something. And that just opens up a way for them to protect themselves, because we can't watch them 24/7 as much as we want to.
And you need to start teaching them when they're young. Mm-hmm. And this especially I liked about them, keep them in your sight. I know I have a daughter-in-law that has three children, and she always wants to know where they're at. And I just so much appreciate that, because, you know, they're cute kids and friendly. And that's another thing I'm thinking. I know some other kids that are very, very friendly would go with anybody. Mm-hmm. And you've got to teach them they just can't do that.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to slip in here quickly, kind of being our brother's keeper, and that is human trafficking indicators. And there are eight of them. I'm going to run them through very quickly. Living with the employer, red flag. Poor living conditions, red flag. Multiple people in a cramped space, red flag. Inability to speak to an individual alone. They have to have a spokesperson. Answer appear to be scripted and rehearsed. Mm-hmm. Employer is holding identification documents. Signs of physical abuse and submission or fearfulness. Mm-hmm. Well, we're coming to the end of the program. We need to have opportunities for people to reach out, just like Adeline heard a public service announcement about healing private wounds. Mary, why don't you start out, and we'll let Barb close the program with resources that you have available.
Okay. Yeah. I did mention briefly that we do have free counseling, and we have 6 groups in-house that meet every week. We have the Safe Body Boundaries. We have Seeking Safety. We have a DBT, which is a therapy group. We have a Bible study. Adeline, help me out if I'm missing any. We have Love and Logic Parenting. So we have a parenting group that meets
weekly. And you mentioned about that program that you can actually come into the homes and help parents.
Yes, and that is a 0-5 program. And we have that thanks to a grant from the Department of Education. And so that is something helping kids to become school ready and developmentally catch anything that might be not quite up to par before they turn age 5. So that all of that, you can call and get more information at 231-846-4495. 231-846-4495. We also do community presentations, and we go into the schools. We have Shirley Peterson wrote some great curriculum.
The founder.
Yes, the founder of Healing Private Wounds. And so we do go into the schools and help teach kids about those safe body boundaries.
And you're willing to help out people that are in other areas that maybe if they want to do similar services in their area.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So, because you're local here in Cadillac, mm-hmm. how far away do you go in, you know, a mileage?
So, that's kind of just, it is on a case-by-case basis, really, and we do whatever we can to help, and I would be more than happy to talk to people about how to get something like this started in their area.
Well, that really needs to be in the schools, and that's what we've talked mm-hmm. about, trying to educate, at least starting with the kids. We need to have it in the schools.
Mm-hmm. Barb, thank you so much for your passion and leading so many people to an awareness on this. So, give people the resources that you have available, and we'll always be growing and adding to this.
Well, I have resources available within the state of Michigan to Chicago through Minnesota. I've put 100,000 miles on my car since I started this project, and I will go anywhere. The Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force was founded in 2009 by Jane White. She was the director until April of last year when she passed away. Mm-hmm. The new director is Jennifer Fatma from the University of Michigan, and they meet monthly on the second Wednesday of the month at 10 o'clock in the morning via Zoom. I think that's the big one for the state of Michigan. Kelly Carter, the Assistant Attorney General with the state of Michigan, is on the commission, the state of Michigan Commission for Human Trafficking. And Kelly has been very helpful in getting information to the state budgeting people so that money is becoming available.
Amen.
For human trafficking awareness, for human trafficking
interdiction.
Funding, yes. And the state of Michigan should never be ranked number 4 or 5 because I think the state of Michigan is doing a lot to promote the anti-trafficking and the awareness of trafficking. And the 25 federal cases that went to court that the witnesses did appear, that's another whole meeting. In the courts, a lot of times the witnesses see that trafficker in the courtroom mm-hmm. and they are silent, or they don't even go to the court when they know it's the court date because they are petrified to mm-hmm. see that person again.
Give us the 800 number.
800 number to Polaris is 800-888-3737.
3737.
3737. And my personal number is 800-367-6788.
So I want to end with Adeline. What can you tell our listeners if they're a survivor? What more can they do to help themselves? What should they be doing?
If they're a survivor, they need to get help. Get some kind of counseling. Get something. I mean, I work with the girls in jail, and a lot of them are in jail because of their past, mm-hmm. their sexual anything. If we could even just get them help when they get out so they're not going to back to that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, their abuser, their pimps, or any of that. You know, any way we can get it out, we need to.
So here in the Cadillac area, we have Healing Private Wounds, which is very, very helpful. So listeners, I pray that this has been a blessing to you. Your eyes and hearts have been opened. And just pray if there's God's leading you to help do something in your community to help these people that are in human trafficking. Thank you so much for listening, Tom. This has been wonderful. We'll have another program in this. This is the second one in this series.
We'll continue, and as the Lord leads.
Amen.
Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to Strong Tower Radio Network. Our stations reach from Kalamazoo over to Lansing and up to the Mackinac Bridge and then west to Ironwood on the border of Wisconsin and even a station in central Illinois. Our most southerly station is 97.3 W247 AM Kalamazoo. Driving north on 131, you can tune to 91.9 WMJC in Richland. Continuing north on 131, you can tune to 89.7 WNHG Grand Rapids. Driving west from Grand Rapids, you can tune to 93.1 WMPA Ferrisburg. Driving north from Grand Rapids, you can continue to listen to Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 91.9 FM WGCP Cadillac. Driving east from Grand Rapids to Lansing, you can continue listening to Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 1540 AM KTGG Okemos and 104.7 W284AH Lansing, as well as 92.3 W222CU Charlotte. Driving north from Lansing, you can continue listening to Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 90.7 FM WBHL Harrison. Continuing your drive north, you can keep listening to Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 93.9 FM WAVC Mayo and 102.7 FM W274BN Alpena. Crossing over the beautiful Mackinac Bridge, you can hear Strong Tower Radio by tuning to 97.9 WIHC Newberry. Driving west of Newberry, Strong Tower Radio can be received by tuning to WUPJ Escanaba on 90.9 FM. Driving further west, tune to 91.3 FM W217CG Ironwood. And lastly, in the heart of the land of Lincoln, tune to Strong Tower Radio on 91.3 FM, W217BB Hickory Point. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.